Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Welcome to another Shadowhunters After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, Sam Davidson. If you guys haven't done so already, please go on iTunes, YouTube, SoundCloud. Rate, review, subscribe. We love hearing your feedback, and we loved all of your tweets and YouTube comments and live viewing last week, so keep it up. Don't forget to use the hashtag ABTV Shadowhunters. I have an awesome panel here with me today. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves and let us know where we can find you on Twitter?
Hi, I'm Becca. You can find me at Becca B Talks TV on Twitter and Instagram.
Hi guys, I'm Dakota T. Jones. You can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
And of course, you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at SamD43 on Twitter and Instagram, and AfterBuzzTV at AfterBuzzTV on all social media platforms. Our other co-host, Erin, should be here shortly. She got a flat tire on the highway, so she will be here soon. As you guys have noticed, we have a new face here. Before we get started into the recap, tell us what you think so far about the series, Dakota, and if you've read the books, and yes, how you think they apply.
I absolutely love it. You know, I just watched the second episode for the second time, and I gotta say, I love the second episode more than the first. It's kind of good to get into the story, see a little bit more. The first one I love, but it was just like, okay, who are these people? What's happening? But so far, I really, really love it. And no, I have not read the books, but I'm planning to hopefully start soon.
Yeah, and what about you, Becca? I know that we talked about this last week, but what did you think about this episode as a whole? Did you like it better than the first?
I definitely think this episode was a lot better than the first. It was more developed. We learned more about the characters, about what's happening. I think Clary learned more about where, how her life is about to change, is changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the second episode definitely brought more answers and connection to story, which we'll continue to talk about. And I am going to read the books, everybody. But with that being said, I do think it's interesting to have people on the panel who have and have not read the books.
Right.
Because, as we know from a lot of TV shows that are based on books, they don't necessarily
follow the
books. So
right,
it's nice to have that knowledge. And especially watching this episode, I felt I would understand more what was going on if I had read the books. So it's coming in Amazon. It's being shipped to me shortly. But let us know what you guys think, too, in the comments. Let's start off with where the episode starts, with Clary having kind of to decide between Jace and Simon.
Yes.
And, yeah, she's just like, okay, Simon, shut up and come inside the Institute, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it was really interesting because, you know, for someone that she's known for so long, like Simon, and then having to choose between him and the guy that she just met, it just shows that she has, like, a calling, like, she can feel inside, I need to follow my heart, and Jace, you know, is going to help me find my mother. So it was very interesting to see her, like, kind of leave behind her old, you know, ways. You know, like, she just turned 18, you know, she thinks her life's normal, and now she's, like, putting that aside. She's like, you know what, I'm going to find my mom, and I need to follow this guy. I don't know who he is, but she's interested to see what, you know, they have in store for her.
Yeah, absolutely. What did you think, Becca?
I definitely agree. I think it's really sad because, for Simon, I adore that character. I'm absolutely obsessed with him. And
she's dragging him along, though.
Well,
that's
she's
true.
Dragging him along, but I still think that he kind of has feelings for her, and
for sure,
she's kind of ignoring that, doesn't see that yet.
Yeah, I agree. We'll get into their relationship, but it's fun because now he's part of this world.
Oh,
he's kind of the token money.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mundane.
Yeah.
Let's say. So, you know, they go in, Jace cuts himself with the ruin thing, yeah. And it's a really cool visual moment, yeah. I thought, when the church turns into the institution.
It was very
cool. I think the effects on the show are...
Yeah.
Pretty good so far.
I gotta say, I loved Simon's reaction, though. Like, whenever he's like, wait, what are you doing? When he, like, held his hand and, like, put the ruin mark on him, it was just hilarious.
Yeah.
It was a good comedy relief, I guess. With all the seriousness going on, it was kind of a good comedy relief.
That's a really good point. I think that Simon is the comic relief
for sure.
of the show, yeah. And it's so much fun having him along on this journey, because, you know, he's like, is he burning himself? What is he doing? And what he says and how he says it is so funny and on point, and kind of what we're all thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What the viewer is thinking, definitely, for sure.
Absolutely. And once they get in there, Simon meets Isabel, who literally looks at him like he's lunch.
Yes.
And he looks at her, Simon, and just goes, hot.
Yeah.
But she's also burning herself.
Right.
And the look that Jace gives Simon, it's really funny.
It goes to show that Jace is definitely like a brother figure to Izzy rather than anything romantic. So I think we can kind of cancel that romantic relationship out for now, at least.
Definitely.
I think they're definitely more like brother and sister rather than anything.
Absolutely. And speaking of romantic relationships, we'll show you a little bit later, but we made a love octagon.
Yes.
And a triangle, because we heard that there's going to be a love octagon, so we created that, and a little triangle we'll share with you guys in a little bit. After we get the introduction, you know, Simon gets his introduction to everybody, we see Luke... So there's a circle member in a parking structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she is about to go after a warlock.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke sees this happen, stops her before she does. And then they start fighting. She says that he's a traitor and he killed, I guess, her significant other, Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically gives her a chance to go free, but then she attacks him and he... turns into what seems like a werewolf.
Yeah.
That's what the sound effects lead to, for sure.
At that point, we kind of assume that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah, and I know...
what he is at that point.
Exactly. I know we all haven't read the books, but I do know from people that have that he is indeed a werewolf in the books.
And
so,
from some comments that we saw in last week's video as well.
So thank you guys for kind of cluing us in, because if it wasn't for you guys, I would still be a little lost. I think I would have put it together in this episode.
Yeah.
Been like, ooh, maybe, but I don't think it's a maybe.
I think it's for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. The comments definitely help.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a werewolf. And we get some more with Luke throughout the episode, which we'll discuss. After that scene, we meet Hodge Stockweather, right? Hodge Stockweather. He is a weapons trainer and a former circle member. And he can't leave the institution, and he's kind of there to do his time.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's good, and he's helping. However, every time he talks about the circle and what happened, he, can't breathe,
gets
tortured.
Yeah, like this thing on his neck, it's like the circle on his neck, and it starts, like, burning, and you can see, like, you know, the smoke coming from it. So it's, like, obviously very, very painful for him. And it shows how important the information that he has that they need to know, because otherwise they wouldn't put him through the torture, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Becca.
I was just gonna agree with that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it just shows how...
Yeah, it shows how
need
powerful.
To know information.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For
and
sure.
Let's talk about this scene and this character for a moment, because I know that you guys had opinions on the scene. I think that this is one of those scenes that okay, this was a book, mm-hmm. and we're not seeing and getting everything. This character was clearly in the book. Perhaps they didn't really have enough time to delve into...
who he is.
Right.
It seemed a bit random.
Rushed.
Yeah, for sure.
It was like he kind of just appeared.
Do you think we'll get to know him more, like, in the future? Do you think that was his, like, one scene?
Because, in all honesty, I'm not sure, because he didn't... Oh, we have a special guest.
Hey!
We have Erin.
Okay. Hello. Sorry, guys, for those of you that are listening. Erin just got here. She had her flat tire, so we're so glad that you're here.
Glad that you made it.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
We are just now talking about this dude, Hodge Stockweather. And you read the first... Did you say you finished the second book now?
I almost finished the second book. Okay. I went on kind of a crazy book rampage, and I finished the first one, and I'm about three chapters until finishing the second one.
Wow. Have you met Hodge Stockweather?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hodge is, like, he's a main guy, but he's all old and cranky and cantankerous in the books, but he's really hot in the show.
This is why I'm so glad you're here, because we were just talking about how a scene seems kind of random, and I said that it just seems like you needed to read the books to understand exactly what it meant.
Right.
Yeah, the character development was kind of weak when it came to Hodge, I felt like.
Yeah, I was wanting to know more about him, you know, and it just kind of showed him for a while, and then they were on to the next scene.
I think they're going to develop that more, though, because he's such an integral part of the story, at least in the books. Yeah. You know, they're not sticking with everything, so who knows?
Right.
But I think that there's a lot more to come with him. I like that they made him hot.
That's just how TV does it.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, oh, someone old and crusty, let's make him hot, you know?
Yeah.
I also find it interesting because you said that Dot was supposed to be an older character in the book as well.
Yeah, and we'll get to Dot, but they do mention that, which I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's what TV does. They just, like...
They just, like...
Just hot him up.
Yeah.
Turn up the sexy.
Yeah. That's funny.
So, basically, Hodge Stockweather tells, you know, he at first thinks that Clary is Jocelyn. It gets revealed that him and Jocelyn were best friends, kind of seeming like her and Simon.
Right.
That's the vibe that I got. And, yeah, he starts talking about the circle. They all think Valentine is dead. And he tells us basically what you told us last week, Erin, that that Valentine just took it too far and basically tried to kill all mankind and Shadowhunters with what he did. So no one was aware until really this point that Valentine was still alive. And it's a huge thing, and it's really freaking everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a good dude.
No.
I mean, I'm sure, like... I'm so obsessed now with everything, with the books. I was literally listening to the audiobook on my way here,
really?
Especially when I got my flat tire and sat on the side of the freeway for 45 minutes. So I am kind of obsessed with this Valentine character, and he's actually really complex, and I think that now that's going to start to come out now that we've kind of found out his relationship to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Which then kind of leads us into Jason Clary... are chatting after they talk to Hodge Stockweather, and, you know, Jace is asking her, like, what do you know? They mention the Mortal Cup, and do you know where it is? Who has it? And the way Clary responds is very clear that her memory has been wiped. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jace tells her, that her memory has been wiped.
Oh,
yeah. And then they put the dots together and realize that it was maybe Dot had something to do with
it. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I see where you're going with
this.
Yeah. Dots together.
Dots. Yeah, because Jace explains what a male... I keep on thinking male witch. It's not male witch.
Warlock.
It's a warlock.
Yes.
And it has nothing to do with being a witch.
Yeah.
What a warlock is, which is half demon, half shadow hunter, and that they do get purple from their hands, and they can open portals.
So
they think that it's Dot. And at this point, Clary thinks that Dot could possibly be working for Valentine.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of Dot at this point, and can maybe you explain? I thought she was dead, and then they shapeshifted into her last week.
That's what I was thinking too.
She's alive,
right?
Well, she's so different in the show. This is a huge kind of road that they went down that's not part of the book.
Mm-hmm.
Madame Dorothea is really involved in everything in the book, and Madame Dorothea is Dot now, so she's really involved, and then she kind of disappears. So I think it's going to be something similar to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
I'm just happy, like, I really like Dot's character.
Yeah.
So,
she's a fun character.
I want to see more.
I know. More. I really, really want to see more of her. And I did go on IMDb, like, you guys, I listened to your last episode, and she is only confirmed for two episodes. So, I don't know.
You never know, though. I feel they like to mess with us like that. So.
And IMDb isn't always correct.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll get into this at the end, but she could be gone for good. Then we see Dot go to see Luke, which I was so grateful for this scene because it explained a lot, and it kind of seemed to explain their intentions. She goes to Luke because she threw Clary through the portal to Luke, but she didn't stay with Luke. So she kind of went to Luke assuming that Clary might be there.
Right.
What did you guys think about this scene and both of their intentions in the long haul?
I think it's very obvious that, I mean, when Dot leaves Luke at the end, you can tell, you know, he says, like, oh, you can't trust anyone. And she's like, yeah, I know, as she's leaving him. Because I think she's starting to pick up on his, like, suspicious behavior for sure. So I like that right there at the end because it's showing two people who used to be pretty close. And then she's kind of saying, yeah, I don't know if I can trust you or anyone at this point because, I don't know, obviously he's acting sketchy. And I really wonder what his intentions are because it's not clear. I don't know if he was just saying that in the meeting from the last episode that he didn't care if they were dead, whatever. I don't know if he's just saying that to throw them off track or if he really does secretly care about Jocelyn and Clary.
I don't know if this is going to follow the same plot or not, but there is a big twist with Luke. And someone was actually talking about it on our comments on the YouTube from our last episode about this big twist with Luke. And I think they're going to keep it the same. But the only thing that I want to say without spoiling anything is that he's involved with the Downworlders a little bit more than we know so far. At least that's how it happens on print.
He's kind of that character that you don't know if you can trust right now.
But you want to.
You want to trust him.
But it's just too good to be true.
One, he's a pretty likable character for the most part. And also, he's pretty good looking as well.
He's the Old Spice guy. How can you not trust the Old Spice guy? It smells delicious.
My God, my mind is blown right now.
Old Spice guy?
Yes. You know when he has like...
On the horse.
In the horse.
Oh my gosh, that's him? I'll never see him the same again.
You're going to see him half naked forever. That's how I see him when I watch the show.
He has to take his shirt off.
He's going
to
come in like half horse, you know, in one episode. Oh my gosh.
We have it on the screen right there.
Oh, there he is. Oh my gosh. I did not put the connection
together.
Look at
that.
Amazing.
That's a beautiful image right there.
That really is.
Very, very pretty.
Thank you so much for that, Alexis.
You are very welcome, because I'd love to look at this man like hubba hubba.
Me too.
Seriously. And I have a feeling he will be shedding some clothes, especially if he's a werewolf. So, you know, he just can't help it. If he's a werewolf, they have to take their clothes off. They don't need shirts.
You guys are just hoping. You guys have your fingers crossed so hard.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I have no shame about that.
Then we jump to the scene, a really fun scene with Simon and Isabel. And she's playing with him like he's a little
toy.
Dog.
Yeah, a little dog.
Yeah, and she makes him breakfast, which Jace tells him not to eat because it could be poisonous, which was really funny.
What do you think about that? Is he just messing with him? Is he kidding?
They're all messing with Simon. Her character and apparently her mom, like her whole family's notorious for being the worst cooks ever, so she literally might kill him with her bad cooking.
Okay. See, that's something I wasn't sure of. I was like, is she trying to poison him? Like, I didn't understand that part, but thanks for clearing it up.
I think Jace is really into just teasing
the mundanes.
Like,
for sure.
And Alec and Izzy
and
as
just
well.
Everyone.
Just everyone.
But I think that Isabel really likes Simon for some reason. I think it is playful. And she mentioned sometime in the episode that, I'm bored. Like, I don't really have anything else to do. But she likes him. They eat on her bed.
Yeah.
And share a plate.
Which is very different. Sensuality.
Yeah. She's just,
maybe something will happen.
Well, I don't know. They are on our love octagon. So we will see. Simon asks Isabel about Jace. And, you know, she could tell he's jealous.
Yeah.
And then she also, you know, says he's the ultimate protector, Jace is. So you really have nothing to worry about. What do you think about that? Do you think that she just... we all know Jace is good.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that she stops Simon because, like, she kind of wants him to? Or to stop him from creating more problems?
I would say probably just to stop him from creating more problems. But also probably just because she wants him to stay with her so she can keep messing with him. It's very obvious that she loves playing around.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can see that in her character that she's just... I don't think Simon is going to be able to, like, tell for sure whether...
Right. She's very mysterious.
She's telling the truth.
Yes. And she seems like she really likes to play that cat and mouse game.
Yeah. It's kind of difficult to, like, tell whether she's being genuine with Simon or not.
Totally.
At the moment.
She's very cheeky. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a good word for it. But I love her, and I honestly think she has good intentions, which then leads to the next scene, which I loved, with Isabel, which is Isabel and Clary. Mm-hmm. And they seem to be becoming fast friends. And are they becoming fast friends? Because at least for me, with these kinds of relationships, girls are usually threatened by a newcomer into this kind of exclusive group. Mm-hmm. But Isabel is just trying to kind of reassure Clary that she's meant to be here, she's meant to do this, that you're going to be okay. She keeps on dressing her like a little baby prostitute.
Oh my gosh.
Like it.
Yeah, I do too. It's coming from such a place of love.
I guess.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about their friendship? Is there any kind of ulterior motive for Isabel?
I think that Izzy and Clary can now relate to each other since Clary is now joining this world all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know many people.
Right.
Or anyone in her normal life that she can relate to, tell about what's happening yeah. without thinking they're insane. She's insane.
I feel like it's probably pretty genuine, just because this is what I like. In the show, I think that they're going to make them friends, and I like that because so many shows put women against women.
They put them together.
They try to, oh, well, I'm better than you. Oh, I'm sexier than you. No, I like that they're working together because that's something that I think needs to somewhat end, you know, in some of the TV shows.
Totally.
Sometimes
agree.
It works. Sometimes, you know, you just need, like, a girl to be friendly with another girl. It's just, I really like how they're doing that because I feel like that's how it should be, you know? Not every girl hates the other girl.
I love that. I'm so glad you said that, too. And I've become, like, deeply, deeply obsessed with all things Mortal Instruments. So I've been on all the message boards talking to people about everything. And a lot of people are bringing up that in the books, the girls are very catty against each other. And they like that in the show, like you just said, that the girls are actually, you know, allies. And it's on the same side because there's no reason to compete. And Isabel's probably happy to have another chick around.
Yeah.
Probably, honestly. Because she's just with a bunch of guys.
She seems very lonely at the end of the day. She's, like, thrilled to have these new people kind of shake things up. And I liked that Isabel also clarified that she is nothing romantic with Jace. Her family took him in when they were, like, 10, and they just trained together, and he's just as much of a brother as Alec is.
Well, if y'all read the books, you would know that brotherly lines don't mean anything when it comes to romances.
No way. They have a thing? Like...
No, they did not. But it just, the brother-sister thing doesn't mean a lot to people when they think about who they're going to date.
That's true.
It was for a lot on TV. Right?
I have a feeling they're not going to go down that road on the show because it's uber creepy.
That would be creepy.
Well, it would be creepy for her and Alec, but with Jace, technically, they're not related.
That is very true.
They're just both so good-looking. I feel as though after all of their time together, they must have maybe, you know...
Yeah. I feel like Izzy honestly looks kind of like a Latina version of Anne Hathaway. Am I wrong for saying that?
No, I like that.
I haven't thought of that.
Like, because you know, she wears, like, the leather, like a Catwoman type of thing. Didn't Anne Hathaway play Catwoman?
Yeah,
she has that same kind of, like, vibe, you know? I feel like I'm super attracted to her. She's very attractive.
I think everybody is. I think it would be weird if someone disagrees with that statement. Yeah.
We are trying to get her on the show, and I've put, like, feelers out to a lot of people, so hopefully we'll be getting some guests, which is really exciting.
That is exciting.
After this scene, we kind of get back into Luke... character at the police station. We meet a new character named Alaric, who... Can you tell me anything about him in the books, Erin?
I just feel like right now the books are so different than the show, so I don't want to get too much into it and have it too, you know, going down that road, because I think it's going to be so different here. Mm-hmm.
He is an important character in the books, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, every character that comes into play has a really strong role. There aren't any superfluous characters in the book, so I think they are going to stick to at least that side of things in the show.
And I like that, because then you don't have to keep up with all these randoms that come in for, like, one or two episodes. You know, it makes things very clear who's who, you know, the relationships that they develop. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. And we see... The chief of police, what does Luke call her? Luke's boss, or part, it seems, Luke's boss tells him that Clary was there that night, is mm-hmm. worried about Clary, and that's when Alaric comes in after, and, you know, Luke tells him that, okay, I'm putting the pieces together, Clary was here, and then I think she overheard me. And Alaric seems to be concerned, and so is Luke, and they decide that they need to find both Clary and try to find Simon, because Simon apparently is always where Clary is.
Right.
Yeah.
If Simon, he's missing, he must be with her.
Clary around like a lost puppy.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
So, hopelessly in love.
I think that that whole thing is interesting. We get dribbles of that throughout the episode, but who knows what's going to happen with that. Then we have Clary, and she has the vision of Dot. So Clary, Jace, and Isabel are all ready to, and Simon, to go find Dot. And Alec does not approve of the mission.
As always. I just want to say that because he seems like he's always against whatever they're trying to do.
So, and people mentioned on the chat that Alec seems like the only person at the moment who's really annoyed with Clary joining the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not a huge fan, and, at least so far.
Mm-mm. I think that might be because he's just afraid that his friends are gonna forget he exists. I don't know.
I think that there's an even... He and Jace are parabatized, so that means they train together, mm-hmm. they grow up together, they have this, like,
yeah,
inseparable bond.
Yeah, he
doesn't
want to lose the bromance going
exactly.
on with Jace.
Totally, he doesn't want to lose the bromance.
Yeah. He has competition now.
He does, and it. But at the end of the day, I think that he realizes deep down that they should kind of listen. He calls Clary some little girl or...
Yeah.
Little girl.
Yeah, that she's not important, and they start talking about how they need to find Dot still, mm-hmm. and then Clary gets a vision through her necklace, and she sees Dot outside of the Pandemonium, the Demon Club.
Yes.
As I like to call it, and then Clary says that she knows where she is. Tell me what you guys think about this necklace so far. So is it connected to Jocelyn, her mother, and Dot? Because Dot made the necklace because she's
maybe
a warlock?
That. Either that, or maybe it's going through Jocelyn, and Jocelyn is showing Clary what she needs to see. That could be something, too.
I think that it has something. I think it's like that, but maybe. I think I'm at the part in the second book that they've briefly talked about Clary having a gift to be able to see the unseen, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if this necklace is going to be the way that they kind of bring that to life. So it might not even be directly connected to certain people. It might just be a way for her to use that gift.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point, because we'll get into this in a minute, but they... Jace mentions that something about being clairvoyant, they see a symbol for clairvoyance, and Clary's like, I've drawn that before.
Oh, I did not even put that together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So then I thought, okay, well, like, maybe that's her power of sorts.
I definitely think that they're hinting at that then. I totally did not connect to those dots at all, and I'm so glad you just said that, because now everything's clicking in my head.
It takes, like, 5 times to watch the episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's forever gonna, amaze me how well Clary is adjusting to...
Yeah, she adjusts very fast.
...this world, because, yeah, I would...
You
it's
would
like riding everything up.
But yeah. Didn't you ever have, when you were a little kid, didn't you ever wish that you were magical, or like that you were going to get a Hogwarts
like a
acceptance letter?
Yeah.
Or
every day, yeah.
So maybe it's that kind of thing that, you know, if I got a letter in the mail telling me I was going to wizard school right now, I'd be super happy.
You'd
so
be like, all right,
it might be those things that, you know,
right.
something
she just kind
missing.
Of has a rush of excitement.
And she said that there was a void in her life, so she's probably embracing this full on, because like where her memories were, you know, that were erased, there's a void there, and I think she's trying to search everywhere she can to fill that void, for sure.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And what then happens is we actually do see what Dot is doing outside of Pandemonium, and she's going to go find Magnus because he is the one that cast this spell in the first place to wipe the memories of Clary. And Magnus is, like, peacing out.
Yeah, he's like, nope, bye.
Yeah.
Later.
He's getting all of the warlocks through the portal, and he's like, you know, come on, people,
yeah.
come on, get on through there. He's trying to save his people, right. because now Valentine is out for all of the warlocks, and he's like, come on, this is your last chance, Dot. She says that she needs to find Clary. So I do
right.
think that Dot's intentions are clear.
Very clear.
Oh, at this point. And,
but
yeah.
It kind of upset me that Magnus just peaced out.
Yeah, like, he literally gave her 2 seconds.
Wanna...
He's like, are you coming with me? And then he disappeared. It was like he was not messing around.
I wanted to see him more in the episode than we saw him.
Yeah.
I agree. I love him.
I
just love
like
that
him.
Character.
I think he's very interesting,
back,
and I like
sure.
the actor.
Yeah.
He is my favorite character in the books. It was Simon, and then it became Magnus, because Magnus wears glitter all the time, and he's super sarcastic and witty, and I just love his character so much.
He's very complex.
They're doing a great job with it in the show, too, because he's awesome. I love him.
I agree, and we know that he will be back. Yeah. He'll come back from the portal, so not to worry, and we'll talk about him in our Love Octagon in a minute. So Clary next realizes, okay, my memories have been swiped, so what do I do? And Jace says, well, and everyone can read Jace's mind. They say no. What Jace is thinking is he wants to bring Clary to the brothers.
The City of Bones.
Yeah, to the City of Bones and the Silent Brothers.
Silent Brothers,
yes,
yeah.
Who communicate just through their minds. But apparently, you know, if you're not strong enough, you can die. They literally put, like, a sword in, like, to your head.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's touching your brain. I mean, it's magic, so.
Yeah. Kind of freaky.
I guess it's not, like, an operation room.
Yeah.
So, everyone says it's too dangerous, and Isabel is really protective of Clary here. She doesn't want her to do it because she's afraid for her. Right. That's the vibe I've got. Not that she's trying to hold her back. Yeah. She's afraid for her.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I think so, too.
Even Alec was like, no, we can't do it. So, I was, like, surprised because he doesn't seem to care about Clary that much at this point. So, he was like, no, we're not going to do this.
And,
you know, then, of course, Clary's like, let's go. I don't care if I die. Like, I want to find my mom. And those guys were so creepy, like, with their eyes sewn shut and their mouth sewn shut.
I love it.
I was like, oh, my gosh. If I woke up in the middle of the night and that thing was standing over me, I would probably not be here today.
I would have a heart attack and peace out.
So you liked that. And have you read the part of the books that they're in yet, the Silent Brothers?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how you pictured it?
That's exactly... They, in great detail, describe exactly what they looked like in the show, which was great. The mouth sewn shut, and it's... Apparently, they have to basically mutilate themselves in order to get to the point that they're at to become the Silent Brothers.
Oh my gosh.
So that's kind of the price they paid for the magic that they hold.
Wow.
Okay.
That's deep.
I liked that at the point where she went to visit them, she kind of, she became more confident in herself at that point. And you can see that she's taking charge, is starting to figure everything out for sure.
Yeah. And I think perhaps one of the reasons for that is what I said about that symbol of clairvoyance. She's, like, recognizing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's not, you know, people have commented and said things like, she's just so unnaturally confident and seems to just be in charge. But at the end of the day, she had her memories wiped and she kind of should be probably in charge. And it might all feel like deja vu to her.
Oh, totally. And it's in her blood, too. So it's what she was meant to do. So she's kind of just coming into her own.
Yeah, she really is. And I think it's fun to watch, to have a female character come into her own immediately so quickly. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these shows, like, I cover The Vampire Diaries. I love that show. But it took Elena on The Vampire Diaries a very long time to become, like, a physically and mentally strong character. Mm-hmm. But right away, Clary is just in charge and taking names.
That's probably something that Freeform is trying to do, is they're trying to get rid of some of those stereotypes, like I was saying before. Like, now they're like, all right, we have a girl character, and she's gonna, you know, do a great job. She doesn't necessarily need someone to save her all the time. Like, yeah, everyone's there together to help her out, but she's, like, you know, leading the pack. Like, she's, like, not messing around. I really love that about
her. Yeah, I do, too.
Freeform has done a good job
with
those kinds of storylines.
Yeah.
Strong women characters!
Yes! Yay. So, you brought up Jace and Alex, and I want Alec. My brother's name is Alec, too. I should never mess that up. They kind of have a little talk, too, which is interesting, and Jace asks Alec, don't you want to welcome this person? You welcomed me into your life when I was just kind of random and I needed help, and now she needs help. And Alec says it was different with him. I mean, do you think Jace is picking up on these, like, love vibes at all? Because everyone else is.
No.
I feel like he's oblivious. I don't think his oblivious. Mind's not there. He's thinking
him
about
him and Clary are both oblivious.
Yeah, so. I get that feeling, too. And he seems like he's in his own world a little bit. He's very single-minded with whatever he's focusing on at the moment. So I think for him, it just is strange that Alec wouldn't just embrace Clary immediately.
Right. Mm-hmm. Alec does seem to be a bit concerned. You know, he says to Jace, if something goes wrong, if something happens to her, that's on us. You know that. And I think he's worried. Alec is actually worried about that. I think he would feel badly, even though he doesn't seem to like her very much.
I think he's a good guy overall. He's pretty protective of everyone.
He, definitely a good guy. He just wants what's best for everyone.
The overly protective brother.
At the moment, he doesn't completely 100% trust Clary.
I feel like as the show goes on, he'll, you know, like, free himself a little bit more and, like, let him just, like, be himself, you know what I'm saying?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that is part of our love octagon, which we'll show you at the end. After that, we have a very sweet moment I just wanted to touch on with Simon and Clary. She goes, you know, she kind of is trying to baby him, and now he's part of this whole thing. And he tells her to just, like, go fight, and, you know, he's kind of proud of her, and she's worried about him. She doesn't know these people. It's kind of like leaving your baby with, like, strangers.
Right.
and that's kind of weird, because it's... He's in love with her,
right.
But she's treating him like
he's a child. Yeah, for sure.
And how do you think that makes him feel?
Probably, like, defeated. Definitely, like, the way she treats him, like, she doesn't mean any harm by it, but it probably makes him feel, like, less of a man, more, you know, just like, oh, you know, I'm just that kid, you know.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Sorry, guys. It was just so epic. I had to do it. Oh, no. I didn't believe it.
He's a man.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into this in predictions, but I could see Simon kind of being like, enough. I want to be strong and powerful.
And then he'll just, like, lose
it. Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
People will have to take him seriously.
Well, I also... One thing I do like, though, is that in the books, too, Clary's character is kind of treats Simon like a baby, but mm-hmm. It comes across way better with Kat McNamara playing Clary.
Mm-hmm.
In the books, sometimes she seems kind of mean and like she's taking advantage of him, but Kat plays it in a way that's
really sweet and
yeah. Like a loving, gentle, like, brotherly way. Yeah,
like she doesn't mean to take advantage of him at all. She cares about him like a best friend.
Right.
And
yeah,
just,
like a friend.
I love the way that she plays that character.
Me too.
I agree. I like the way all of the actresses are portraying their characters on the show.
Absolutely. Right. And then going back to the Silent Brothers, you know, we're in there with the sword on her head, and she gets her memory back, which is only one memory, and it's not what they're looking for, but it's a memory of Luke and Jocelyn talking about how Valentine's her father, and mm-hmm. she's a shadow hunter, and blah, 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 blah. But the Valentine's her father thing is red flag.
Yeah. Huge news.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... She doesn't say that well, but
I wouldn't
think anyone would.
No, I don't think so. I was expecting more memories to come back to her because wasn't the sword, you know, supposed to reveal mm-hmm. all that she'd lost? Like, I was like, that's... I mean, obviously, it's a big key part in the mm-hmm. show. Like, oh my gosh, he's my father. But, like, I was expecting a lot more of her old memories to come back.
Me too. And yeah. I think she was as well.
I think that the block that was put into her brain was way stronger than anyone expected it to be.
True. Or maybe later on in the show, things will come to her. You know what
I
I'm saying?
I also think that dealing with the fact that Valentine is her father isn't enough for her at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy. It's a big reveal, even though we already knew, even the ones that didn't read the book, mm-hmm. that this
oh,
was
yeah.
definitely an option. While all of this is happening, Isabel is with Simon, and is she planning on hooking up with him in his car? I don't know. She asks to hear his music and,
right.
you know... And she says to her brother, Alec, what? I'm
it
bored.
Passes the time.
It's like, what are you going to do with him?
I know.
Simon.
I was like, what is going to happen?
I feel bad for Simon.
I feel bad for Simon on one hand, but he's probably very excited about that possibility.
He's like, what? Attention
like,
from a girl?
Adventure time.
Yeah, so he's excited. He brings her to the car, starts playing the music from his band. Oh, and that's who we forgot on the octagon, Maureen.
Oh, yes.
His bandmate.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
him.
Yes, I was like, I know there's one more.
Yeah.
So he looks at her photo because it's like, okay, this girl still exists. He kind of likes her. Maybe she likes him. Simon has a lot going on.
Yeah.
And then Isabel hears something and she runs and tells Simon to not leave the car, which he doesn't, but he ends up getting attacked.
That's like the part...
That doesn't work well for him.
Yeah, that's like the part, you know, in all the movies. Stay here, you're gonna be fine. Just like he was saying earlier, you know, the comic relief always is the one that gets killed off first. And I'm like, don't leave him in the car. He's gonna get kidnapped. Like, it's, like, bound to happen.
The one that stays in the safe place always gets killed.
Right,
that's just
exactly.
how it goes.
Yeah. And that's what happens, and he makes a lot of commentary foreshadowing that, which is a lot of fun to see.
Yeah.
Then, you know, we have the end of the episode. We see Jace and Clary and Alec, and they tell Alec that Valentine is Clary's father. And Alec's pissed. He's like, are you serious right now?
Yeah. He's like, should we trust her? Yeah.
Exactly. But she insists that they should trust her. She has no idea. This is not what she wanted. And I think it's pretty apparent that she's really clueless. Her memory has been wiped. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what's going to happen there. And then at the end, we see Simon, of course, dangling from a bridge.
That gave me a heart attack.
Poor, I don't want anything little to Simon. Happen to, well, Simon.
To be honest, that's a better situation than what happened to him in the books. Because in the books, he got turned into a rat. And then the vampires took him home. And they think that vampires turn into rats when they're tired, I guess. What? So they thought he was their friend, and they took him home with them.
Oh, wow.
That, interesting.
That's sad.
Which seems worse to me.
I'm
than...
I'm kind of glad no, they didn't go that route. Worse.
Yeah, well, that's I love that you read the
come next week.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing. And that pretty much sums it up. Before we quickly get into predictions, I would just like to show you guys what we made.
Yes.
It's like a child's art project.
We're so crafty.
Yes.
Well, we're obsessed with...
It's so hopeful. Yes, so we have
relationships
a,
that are going to happen.
We read a lot of articles and stuff about a love octagon, which there's, like, a lot of spaces, a couple spaces to fill in. Of course, we have Clary, Jace, and then Jace has... Well, Alec likes Jace, we think. And then, apparently, Magnus and Alec end up having a thing. Which is in the books, which I think is going to happen again.
Yes. I think they're already even kind of hinting at that.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. Then on the other side, you know, we have Clary, who Simon clearly loves.
Yes.
And Isabel likes Simon. And then we actually need to put Maureen's name somewhere in the middle. That doesn't really make sense. We'll rework this octagon next week.
There's just so many relationships possibly happening here that it's so hard to put them on a board.
Right, and it's going to be interesting as we go on with this show, like, to see where the blocks move, you know, all the relationships that we don't even know about yet that might even happen.
I think it's going to get really complicated.
Unpopular opinion, but I kind of want Simon and Clary to be together instead of Clary and Jace.
I think there's a lot of people that would side with you on that.
Yeah.
Freeform may do that,
if anyone...
You know?
Agrees.
Freeform may decide, you know what, we're not going to give, you know, the big guy, the girl, we're going to give it to the, you know, the underdog, because that'd be kind of cool to see.
Well, I think they're going to have their own triangle there. We'll work out some more lines next week. Then we have a small triangle that we think is going to happen with Jocelyn, Luke, and Valentine. So we'll see. Basically, we have one, they said it's an octagon. Octagons have 8 sides. So we figure out 7 of them. There's still a blank one, and we're not sure who fills that. So if you guys have any ideas, let us know.
Yeah,
us
everyone
know.
That read the books, like me, and is now in this whole world, let me know, like, what your predictions are, because I think that I know who it is, but I'm still at the part of the books that I'm not totally sure yet, but I think it's someone a little bit canine.
Okay, well, that is...
Interesting.
Ooh, well, on that note, let's get into predictions.
Oh, wow. You're
that's my favorite part.
Trippy.
Who wants to go first? Would you like to go first, Dakota?
Sure. Okay, I think what's going to happen next is... I feel like Clary might get close to her mother. You know, like, these shows always play around with us. I feel like Clary might get close. Oh, here's my mom, maybe getting ready to save her, and something happens to bring her back again. I feel like they're going to get close and closer each episode, but I definitely think they're going to get a few steps closer to finding the mom, for sure.
Great.
Well, I hope they don't... I want them to find Jocelyn, but I hope it does kind of get dragged out, just because I think that storyline is going to make it interesting, is going to make the show interesting for at least the first episodes this season.
Mm-hmm.
The first half of this season.
Absolutely.
But hopefully we'll find Simon.
Yes. Well, I think with Simon, I think they're going to jump a few steps faster than maybe they did in the books, and I think now that Simon is with the Night Children, that Simon may or may not become one of them.
What?
Ooh.
This is what I think.
Oh, that would get very complicated.
Uh-oh.
That's crazy.
Just to add another...
A little foreshadow from the books, maybe, or from just your personal predictions?
Both.
Okay.
Combination thereof.
Well, that's great. So that'll be very interesting. I think they obviously are going to find Simon and save him, in a sense. He's not going to die. And I think that Isabel might be a big part of that, I'm hoping, because it will kind of make their relationship stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Clary is just going to continue to get stronger, and her and Jace just are going to kind of be like electric.
Yes.
Electricity, even though Jace has said many times he doesn't have feelings and she called him a G.I. Joe, but... Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like someone on in the chat said, Chloe's a fiery redhead.
That's yeah. right.
And it's, that's from...
How many episodes do you think, what is your prediction on how many episodes until they kiss?
Five.
Yeah, I agree.
I could have swore they were going to do it in, like, the first or second. I was like, this is too early. Don't do it. No.
They're going to make us, like, need
wait,
it to
yeah.
happen.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
They have to build.
There are times, though, that I'm listening to the audiobook of the second book. I read the first one, but there are times that I'm listening to it and I have to turn it off in my car because they need to kiss and they just don't, and it drives me crazy.
Well, hopefully we'll see that. Please let us know what you guys think in the comments. Can everyone tell us real quick where we can find you on the interweb?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Snapchat at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Becca B. Talks TV.
You can find me at Twitter at Love Erin Lane and on Instagram at Always Eat Your Cake.
And you guys can find me, Sam Davidson, at samdavidsonentertainment.com and on Twitter and Instagram at samd43. We will see you guys next week. Excited to talk to you in the meantime. Bye.
Thanks for chatting.
Adios. Guys. Thank you.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.